Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.
As we look ahead to the Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana's medium-term budget policy statement, the 30th of October, the stakes, I guess, couldn't be higher. South Africa's coalition government is under pressure to manage rising debt. There are stagnant reforms. We have a looming economic crisis. The market's watching closely, and so is the public, all to see if he can pull off a balancing act between austerity and growth. So let's look ahead. Martin Ackerman is with us, Chief Economist at Citadel. Martin, so much riding on this mini budget. What do you think is the most urgent thing that he has to address?
Yes, I think, you know, we need to keep in mind that the medium-term budget is always just an update where we are. Typically, we don't see any policy decisions or tax decisions there. They can do it, but it's more an update. And I think if you compare it to where we are now versus where we've been in February, you know, just a lot of things changed. Mm. And the government of national unity and the positive sentiment and South African asset classes and the rand and all of that. So I think that is definitely something we can talk about the detail there, but there's definitely some tailwinds that they can put into the budget that will make the picture look much better. But there's two things I think that is going to be still a bit of a challenge. You know, the wage bill is still a big part of the budget, and they started wage negotiations. You know, the 12% government went back to 3%. So depending on where they settle there, that can have a huge impact on the expense side. And the other thing is, you know, in those numbers, we'll remember we spoke a lot about the gold and foreign exchange reserves in Feb. Mm. So about 100 billion of that is now in the numbers, so that will make it look much better. But that ability to tap into the count is also now reducing because with a stronger rand, the actual value is less. So it will need to be a balancing act in terms of, you know, still the expense side of the equation, and then, you know, not really in a position to just keep on borrowing. Until we can get the economy going to actually increase tax revenue and replace the borrowing requirement.
You talk about those positive tailwinds, and that is a good thing. But I'd also suggest to you, Martin, the clock is ticking very loudly, because while the markets have reacted positively to the formation of this GNU or coalition government, if we don't see real fiscal reform, that optimism is going to dissipate.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. If we don't see real numbers on the table, well, call it early next year, that sentiment is definitely going to disappear. Our deputy minister recently in the UK and also deputy president and President Ramaphosa yesterday himself as well, you know, they're talking about growth for next year around about 3%. That's their target. They set some things in motion to get there. And I think, you know, that is their view. We're probably going to see those kind of assumptions in the budget at the end of October. Now, keep in mind, in February, the view for next year was about 1.7. So if they plug in a 3% number for next year, you know, all of the metrics relative to GDP is going to look much better. But you're 100% right. So that, you know, that's just looking forward on expected growth. If we don't get those numbers, then in reality, going into next year, you know, the reality is we're in a very tight corner still in terms of balancing our expenses and our revenue.
Notwithstanding the wage bill that you've already mentioned, cutting spending is obviously a key focus. Where can the minister realistically make cuts without crippling essential services?
Yeah, I guess that is where they always talk about pulling a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, many of those services and expenses are almost baked into the cake. If you think about things like the social grants, you know, we can't move away from that. That will be devastating, not only to the people receiving that, but, you know, in terms of stability in the country. So there's not a lot that they can do there, which brings us back to the wage bill. So if you think about the budget, you know, why do we talk a lot about debt? Because 20% of the budget is already being paid for interest service. You know, so you're only left with 80% of the budget to spend elsewhere. Then you add the wage bill, it takes the rest of the budget, probably 60%. And then you got the rest that you can spend on healthcare, education, social grants, and. And that is why the focus is very much on trying to get debt under control, but also address the wage bill. Our wage bill as a percentage of GDP is the highest in the OECD countries. And that's probably where, and they've done it in the past, is to say, well, what is the plan addressing that? It is things like not replacing people when they retire, not creating new job opportunities, and then in time trying to have below inflation increases. And that is why the current negotiations are going to be so important in terms of where they settle with that, because that will then be in the pipeline for the next 3 years.
Martin, you'd have sympathy for that rabbit if it didn't want to come out of the hat, because unless the minister can assure or reassure the international lending community that South Africa is serious about debt reduction, we're just going to be spinning our tires here.
Yes, yeah, I think, you know, if the economy is not getting anywhere, so there's still a lot of pressure on the tax revenue side. The only alternative is in the debt markets. And the concern already, you know, now we're going back since COVID when we've been downgraded to sub-investment grade, where markets are saying, but this is not sustainable. You need to get into a fiscal discipline, which they are very much committed to, and they are making some progress. But we need to start showing them that you're moving away from that, what they call the fiscal cliff or the debt spiral. Because your risk is that if you keep on borrowing, and by the way, we'll probably be able to do that, because if you look at our real interest rates, there's a lot of foreigners willing to lend us the money. But that interest component in the budget goes then from 20% to 25% to 30%. And that's really where you run into a huge risk that's, you know, somewhere down the line, a government in that kind of position can default on the debt. And that's the last thing we want to do.
So the left of the political spectrum, Martin, is pushing for a fiscal stimulus, which it says will ignite job creation. But as you've pointed out, we have limited funds. So is there a realistic way that the minister can pursue this without increasing debt?
Unfortunately not. And that's why I do think the silver bullet is exactly what I spoke about yesterday, the president himself. You know, addressing some of the issues that's low-hanging issues that's preventing us to get to faster growth. We know the issues there. It's like the logistical network is probably top of mind right now. It's much easier or quicker, rather, to try and fix that and let the economy, through economic growth, fix a couple of things. Give you more money in your pocket in terms of, for government in terms of tax collection. Don't need to increase the tax rate. It's just more activity, more tax. And then an economy growing at 3% will certainly create jobs as well. And that immediately takes the pressure off government to actually have a fiscal project to try and create jobs. To be honest, it's not the job of the government or the deliverable for government to create jobs. That is business, private sector that needs to do that. But then you need to have an economy that is growing with the right incentives logistical and electric, water, all those kind of infrastructure that support that growth going forward.
Well, it is a big day on the political and the economic calendar, October the 30th. Martin Ackerman, Chief Economist at Citadel, thank you so much for talking to me tonight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs on MoneyWeb.